Welcome to the Executive Function Podcast, where we make the invisible keys to success easy for you to teach your child. We'll go beyond theory to proven action, helping you create peace and independence at home and at school with your host, educational author, award-winning teacher, and celebrated learning coach, Sarah Kesty.
Team, today on the show, we have Alec, who is a recent college grad. He majored in psychology. So we were teasing about he's probably psychoanalyzing me right now. I'll wait for his report. But Alec is here to tell us kind of how to get ready. What's that perspective on college if you are a junior or a senior, and especially if you've got some neurodiversity going on, like how do you prepare now to make college a really great experience? So, Alec, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So we were just talking, you know, you're 2 weeks out from your bachelor's degree. How are you feeling?
It's a mix, I would say, is the best way to phrase it, in the sense of this massive accomplishment, right? Where you go throughout your life with the goal of, okay, I'm going to work through high school, I'm going to work through college. And the ultimate goal is to be successful in that matter and then move forward into the professional world, right? So my mother likes to say, and I like to say as well, to get first downs, not touchdowns. So definitely probably the biggest first down in my professional career so far is that idea of, you know, graduating, being able to walk across that stage and walk out with all my classmates and all those that I've spent 4 years with, you know, through COVID and everything. Truly, it was a wonderful experience to be able to celebrate that accomplishment of getting that bachelor's, as you mentioned, in psychology. But it's also terrifying. It's scary to think, okay, now that we're told you have all these skills, you're accredited, you have all these different things that have prepared you for the real world, now what do? You know, that freedom is it's terrifying, really, but also at the same time, exciting. You know, it's something that you, taking the steps throughout high school, throughout college, set yourself up for success. But right now, it's scary to think that that freedom is also kind of limiting, you know? So I'm excited, taking steps slowly but surely, you know, still in mom's basement, doing the best I can, but figuring out what is it that I want to do in a career that's going to make me happy.
Ooh, huge. And what a cool paradox that you're describing, that I think parallels what high school seniors are going to feel in just a couple of weeks. And we're recording in May 2022, by the way. And that's everybody expects like this great achievement to feel so good and just have this lasting happiness. And in truth, it's kind of a double dip feeling, right? Like you're, yes, it's so exciting. And then also, what do I do with my time? Or, you know, I did it. And now what, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those where sitting there with my friends in March and April this past year, thinking as a senior, okay, I've had these feelings before. You know, I've had this weird paradox, as you mentioned, of, man, I feel so good. If you're in high school, you've taken your AP, your IB tests, you're wrapping up your finals, your last projects, your last papers. And it just feels like all these massive accomplishments and steps forward is just mixed with this uncertainty, right? Of, am I going to see my friends again? And how, what's it going to be like either away from home or in college, or if I want to enter the workforce right now? It's this weird double-edged sword of accomplishment, but also uncertainty and fear. And I think that whatever it is that we can do to try and aid people through that is just definitely what we have to do.
Yeah, that's huge. And I think, you know, I appreciate you saying that, because I think a lot of parents are experiencing that right now with their kids, where they're watching their high school seniors kind of almost slip into like what looks like sadness. And they're like, what's wrong? You should be happy. And really, we've got to step away and like release that should, because we can make space for this uncertainty to feel uncomfortable and be okay with that. That I think when we should on ourselves, it just complicates everything. So it sounds like you're kind of embracing that gray area as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the scariest thing to think, okay, I really don't know what I'm going to do, you know, whether it be professional or with school or my friends or my family. It's scary to think that, and you feel all these shoulds, right? Especially with those lasts, right? Whether it be college or high school, these lasts of, it's our last senior night party, right? Or our last test or our last regular day. And you feel all these shoulds, but at the same time, you feel this mix, right? And it's leaning into that feeling of what you're actually feeling, of whether that be uncertainty, fear, anxiety, or at times, you know, just pure joy and excitement and really hoping for the future, right? And it's that being able to get out of the should and into the actual feeling that engages true connection with the moment, and then also an ability to process and move forward towards what you want to do.
100%. Because like we've seen in so many instances, if you're running from your feelings just get bigger.
Yes, absolutely. You know? More, yeah, you brush them under the rug, and sure enough, the rug can only, you know, it gets bigger and bigger, that pile, and eventually you have to lift it up and you have to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah, which I guess is a whole other podcast, you psychology major, you. But, you know, and what I can offer parents right now is that if they want to do the college program with me, like the college prep program this summer, that can provide some structure to do exactly what Alec is talking about in giving steps so that you have a place to put that anxiety and you turn it into action. And if not, you know, if the program's not for you, that's fine too. But, you know, just having that transitional support, I think, is what we're bringing a light to right now, that this is a crucial moment, right? It's one of those big transitions that we see where you can really lay some cool groundwork. So you're able to kind of have this balcony view now that you've done high school and college. Thinking back, what were some of the big differences that maybe surprised you or really kind of resonated throughout your college experience comparing it to high school?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is I chose to go a little bit away from home. I chose to go to Lake Forest College in Northern Illinois, which from my hometown of St. Louis Park, Minnesota, it's about 400 miles. So 5.5, 6-hour drive, can always fly. You know, Chicago's a big place, but right away, the biggest difference that I noticed was the actual distance, right? You're no longer in proximity to whether it be your cat, whether it be your family, those different supports you have within that community, within high school and the community outside, right? I mean, I had swim coaches, I had teachers, I had my parents, my grandparents. So the first thing I noticed was you get to college, if you do choose to go to college, and it's just so exciting. The first week just flies by because everything's new, right? You're moving in, you're saying goodbye to your family, you're making brand new friends, all these new things are happening. And it doesn't really hit you until the week or two after that first week, so maybe 2 or 3 weeks in, that you realize, man, like either I'm away from my family, I'm living with a complete stranger, I'm on a whole different area. So that first thing was the actual distance that I noticed. And then as you get into the process, it's a lot less of the structure, right? You have to create your own structure in the sense of my freshman year, my first semester, I had 4 classes, of which probably in class time, maybe about 10 hours total within a week of 5 days, right? Whereas as a high school senior, you're spending maybe close to 10 hours in the actual day within the first day and a half of the week, right? So you have to provide that structure for yourself. And that's really hard. That's really scary to think, I have so much free time, but I don't know what to do with it, right? Whether it be to read, whether it be to take a nap, you know, it's nerve-wracking to think, what is it that I can do, but also that I can't do, right? So it's that weird paradox again of having so much time that you feel like you don't know what to do with it. So I would say the biggest thing was the structure and then also the free time and figuring out how to blend those together and figure out what is it that I truly want to do and then how do I create new supports. As I mentioned from that distance, right, you have to figure out what is it that I need to do. For me, I called my mom every Friday. You know, after my last class on Friday, I called my mom and we'd sit down on my favorite bench there and I would just chat with her, just talk about how I was feeling, what was going on, and these different experiences I was having that felt so different away from home. But at the same time, I knew were things that were going to help me grow and be different and hopefully better in the future.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm hearing you describe a little bit of what happened when we all went online for school, and that, you know, the bells used to tell us where to go when, they were gone. And so now, how do you get to online class on time? We all kind of had to like really appreciate some of the social constructs and some of the just sort of baseline structure that kept us going that dissolved, you know? And even as a teacher, I taught for 17 years. I even was like, whoa, I don't know what to do with myself. Like, because I was dependent, for example, mealtime. I knew when to eat because I had a little break between classes and then I had lunch and then I had another little break. I kind of eat like a hummingbird. I eat all day. But it was like scheduled for me where when we went to online class or like you're describing when you went to college, there's no one there. There's no bell. There's no mom. There's no teacher. No one there to make you do anything. And that liberation comes with this edge of terror because it's all on you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if COVID taught us anything, and hopefully it has, you know, and the idea that I think high school seniors that are coming up have had to be pushed in that sense of creating their own schedule and being on their own things, whether they're alone at the home, you know, the parents are working or they've got their own schedules, right? There's a lot of skills that we learn from COVID that will be very applicable in college and being able to manage your own schedule and create really things that will help time management skills that will help keep you on track and keep you disciplined and really getting either your classwork done, making friends, having free time to relax, you know. So I do think that's a great point that COVID has taught us a lot about that. And I think that it's going to be actually very applicable for these high school juniors and seniors coming up.
Yeah, it almost could be like an edge a little bit if we mindfully kind of tap into those resources. And that kind of makes me wonder too, you know, could neurodiversity be an advantage in some ways because you have to explore time management probably earlier than other people? So, you know, using this summer before college to really tap into, okay, well, I've already kind of had some more external structure just to kind of supplement for the deficits that come with ADHD, autism, that kind of thing. So maybe, you know, mindfully applying those structures now as sort of like a dry run, a dress rehearsal, and then you've got it so that you don't have that floundery feeling as much as we know a lot of college freshmen do.
Absolutely. I mean, I think whatever it is that you practice in high school, and it's so hard to be told that, right? Whether it be doing your dishes, making your bed, all these little habits do add up into how you live and conduct yourself on your own when you have that freedom in college, right? So I think one of those skills of time management and really self-advocacy and being able to reach out to teachers specifically right now for high schoolers in high school and be able to ask for those necessary accommodations, those necessary meetings, those necessary conversations about ways that we can make sure that the education is fitting to what they need, right? And I think that that's something for great practice for college, really, in the sense of if you can do that well in high school and develop those skills in high school, you'll see that in college, people, especially professors, are more than willing to meet those needs that you have because they love it when students are willing to advocate and work for themselves, right? So I think that those skills are very necessary and actually great to practice as a dry run, as you mentioned.
Right? Because it's kind of like this like very limited impact in terms of failure over this summer. Like you get to try and iterate and see what works, and you're not going to be wasting tuition because, you know, it's lower stakes, I guess, is what I'm describing. Yeah. And that's a really cool point that we're going to talk about in my college group too, is that there are tricks to kind of connect with professors and, you know, get your face known. One, because you can be comfortable self-advocating. And then two, because as much as we'd like to believe that grades are objective, let's be real. If you're on the edge, but you've really hustled and you've connected with your professor and they know you by name, you might even know like about their garden at home or, you know, like you've got some connection. If you're on the edge of a grade, that subjectivity will be in your favor. And that's just another way to kind of play the student game that you're inspiring me to think about. And hopefully people will get in the group this summer. That's so smart.
I know it's hard at times, especially with neurodiversity, where it is scary to meet new people, and especially people of authority, right? Walking into a professor's room first time, it's scary. They have, whether it be a big college and 400, 500 person lecture hall, or a small college like mine, they went to school for a long time and they seem to know what they're talking about because they've spent their life doing it. And it's scary to think that, how do I talk to this person for the first time? How do I introduce myself, right? But those little tips and tricks of really reaching out and advocating for yourself will come up big, as you mentioned, both subjectivity of the grades, right? But also those big yet small moments in college of, man, I really miss home, or man, I, for the first time, I seem to have a crush on somebody and it's either going well or it's not, right? And having those different support systems that we're talking about and developing them through reaching out and being able to advocate for yourself. Those are necessary skills, even though they're scary at times.
100%. Yeah. And you know what? You can rehearse them. I think that's something that people forget in this age of being able to see like just the curated beauty perfection of people's lives online, is that like what you see is probably a 35th try of whatever skill. It's so interesting because I came across a podcast because, of course, I, you know, coaches love coaching. So I have my own coaches. And I came across a podcast that was talking about WD-40. Do you know about the story of them?
I don't know of the story. I know that there's spray, but...
Yeah. Like you got a squeaky thing, you squeak some WD-40 in there and problem solved. Well, it's called 40 because it was the 40th try. And if you think about it that way, like, all right, so maybe I try talking to my professor and I choke a little bit. Okay, there's one. Maybe the second time it goes well. Okay, there's two. You know, like it's all right. You can almost gamify it where it's like, maybe this new skill takes 78 tries before I get it right. And so, you know, you eventually get it right if you don't quit. So tell me a little bit more about those tips and tricks. Like when you're thinking back to what worked really well for you and you kind of wish you had figured it out earlier, what can you kind of encapsulate there?
Yeah. So I think some of the things that I learned early on were how much I took for granted the different things that made me who I was, right? So whether that be getting to have dinner with my mom, whether that be having a really clean room and know where everything is, you know, so those little things early on, I struggled with. My freshman year, I really struggled with how do I really advocate for myself and take the steps to make things the way that I want them to be. You know, I really enjoy a really quiet studying time. I really enjoy being able to hang out with friends in a social setting, but it be able to leave when I want to leave, you know? So those kind of things I struggled with my freshman year. And then as I started to really reach out to both my family and my friends, as well as my professors on campus, it was those little tips and tricks of, okay, I'm feeling really uncomfortable. What should I do? And I realized I need the structure of getting some advice from my mom every week. So what I would recommend is whatever support system you have, being able to utilize them. There's never too much or too little, but there's kind of a sweet spot that you want to find, and being able to be present and really wrestle with the challenges that are facing you in the college setting. But at the same time, being able to utilize those safety nets and those systems anytime you need, right? And part of that is creating the structure of those old safety nets. So for me, it was a call to my mom every Friday. And then for my friends, it was maybe a group chat, group text every Sunday. We'd just reach in and be like, hey, how's the week going, you guys? You know, and being able to relate and be able to get some advice from people that are in similar positions as you really helps. But then at the same time, being able to expand that network, as we mentioned a little bit with the professors, being able to conversate with a professor really does help a lot. And it's different based off the school size. So I chose to go to Lake Forest, as I mentioned, which about 1,400, 1,500 as a population size, classes are maybe 20 to 30 people, right? So if you want to, you can really get to know your professor, get to know your classmates, right? But that's scary in the fact that you feel like everybody knows who you are, but you don't know who anybody is, right? So in that sense, I would recommend doing the things that seem simple, but also are really scary. So introducing yourself the first day to the professor, you know, whether it be shaking their hand, sending an email, whatever it is that can get your name and your face attached to them and in their class, more and more so, you'll see that not only will that help your grade and your education style there, but your support system. And if you need someone to talk to, as weird as it might sound, the professor is usually a really good resource to reach out to. And then the same goes for friends. You know, I tried to get at least one or two numbers in that first week from each class I had to try and reach out to people of, okay, I have no idea what this assignment is. I have no idea what these words mean, right? I've read the syllabus 7 times, no idea what any of it means, right? And you reach out to these people that you have either talked to or are usually just as scared as you in the class or maybe in the different orientation settings. And just those little tricks of reaching out to people, both in your new and your old support systems, helps a lot to create that sense of home, whether it be a home feeling created by people actually back at physical home or the new home that you're at currently.
Yeah, and kind of a blend, right? Because you can have it where you've created that comfort for yourself in maintaining the connections to home, and then also, you know, kind of establishing a group, kind of making your team at school as well.
That's the idea where we talk a little bit about that with practice does make perfect, you know? So the first 2 or 3 people you might meet, I remember the first time I would try to say hi to somebody and they were actually saying hi to a friend they knew behind me. And I went, you know, beet red. I had no idea what to do. I was silent for the next, you know, probably 2 or 3 days, didn't talk to anybody. But then you realize, no, like the more and more that you keep doing that, you normalize that. You know, that's no longer a big deal. You're no longer scared of that because the potential to be that person, the person you're so excited to say hi to, is worth so much more of just the minor embarrassment, air quotes, of really feeling like you're doing a social faux pas, but really you're not. Everybody's kind of in the same boat, you know? So it's taking those little steps that a lot of people are scared to take. And it's okay to be scared, but finding those resources early on will help a lot down the road.
Yeah, that's huge. And I'm hearing you say kind of mindfully plan to have those scary moments, right? Like normalize that, like your guts are going to be in knots for a couple of days because it's hard and it's new. And, you know, if we think about our brains biologically, it serves us to be afraid of new things because back in the day, not too long ago, actually, we had to be afraid of new things to kind of maintain our safety. We had to be cautious of new berries just in case they were going to kill us if we ate them, or other people from different tribes, you know, like, do you present a threat? So all of this makes sense in terms of how our brains react. And yet we've got this powerful position where we can kind of choose how we react to that initial first feeling of overwhelm or of stress, and kind of say like, yeah, this is okay. It's okay to feel and still take these actions.
Yeah. And the psych major in me will always say, you know, that stress is it's natural. It's very, very much the human reaction to being in a place that's unfamiliar or at times feels dangerous, you know, but the idea of that stress and that anxiety is to heighten our ability to act, right? And being able to take those steps of interacting with people and normalize, okay, yeah, I'm really scared. You know, it's the first time I'm sleeping away from home, or the first time that I have a big paper and I don't have my mom to read it right here, right? So it's using that stress and that real fear in the manner of which that our body wants it to try and engage us to take steps to create a more safe environment, right? You want to find that sweet spot again of, you don't want to act like the cool macho, no worries at all, because then everybody thinks that you're a know-it-all. Nobody actually can relate to that when everybody's feeling the exact same way. But you also want to make sure you take steps, and especially in the sense of a neurodiverse setting, you want to make sure that you do have those necessary safety supports of, in case it does get overwhelming or in case it does get too much, whether it be from a sense of too many people, too much stress, whatever it is, that you have those necessary safety steps so that way it doesn't get to that point, right? And finding that sweet spot will allow you to normalize those feelings and use those tips and tricks that we talked about to try and create a safety net and structure to your daily life that creates a new sense of purpose and excitement in the college setting.
That's amazing. Yeah. And what I'm hearing you say is that you can do that on purpose. You don't have to go in and be like, okay, I guess I'll figure it out as I go. Like, you can go into college with like at least a rough draft plan. Obviously, We're not psychic time travelers here. You can't know exactly, but you know, hey, I, mom, dad, caretaker, I plan to connect with you every week. What's maybe a good time to just try out our weekly call? Or, you know, I'm putting these expectations on myself as baseline that like, I'm going to try for X time for bedtime and just kind of have some structures in mind that you test out during this like low stakes summertime. So that when you get to college, you're like, oh, all right, well, I've done this. It's not as new because I've had some time to test run it.
Yeah. And that test run it's so important in the rehearsal of the skills and the habits that you get into, right? Really, we like to think that, you know, we're the smartest, we're the most creative, all these things. We're still just creatures, right? So we do habits and we do things that make us feel safe and make us feel really welcome and feel like we have a purpose, right? And I think part of that also is getting into the idea that these habits and these things that we do, well, you'll come to see that sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not, right? And whether it be the dry run in the summer, and then the fact that that doesn't work in the actual setting of college, or that you change your habits, right? And I think that an important part of that is being able to forgive yourself, right? I think so often we're so hard on ourselves, especially when we have these high expectations, that we lose sight of the fact that we are still human, right? And what it means to be human is to make mistakes. And I know freshman year, there's a bunch of things I would have done differently, but I don't regret at all, you know, because I learned from them. And I think that using those habits and having those structures, as we mentioned, really allows you to, if things do go wrong, to have a safety net and be able to forgive yourself and then take steps to create new habits and things that are more successful, for whether it be the changes in college that you weren't anticipating or the things that you want to take on because you're doing well, right? And that's something that we lose sight of a lot, where it's okay to do well. It's scary to think that everybody else is scary. You're really worried and you might be doing really well, especially from a sense of first time away from home or really excited about classes. It's okay to feel those feelings. And I think we need to normalize that.
And, you know, again, that kind of touches on some of the benefit of early adversity. And I'm not sugarcoating. I certainly don't wish, you know, what my clients go through in terms of struggles with focus and time management and deadlines and all that. It stinks to have those studenting skills be so tricky. And sometimes it ends up being almost a benefit because you've had to iterate, you've had to work so hard for it that the structure that others are just now having to put in place, you've already had to because that need presented itself a little bit earlier. So I really appreciate you bringing that to my awareness, is that it's okay to be okay. And it's okay to be like, oh, all right, like I kind of got this. And then maybe, you know, keep that spirit of always improving and pick a new goal.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things where you want to surround yourself with people that aren't going to aim down, they're aiming up, right? And I think that as people that have gone through adversity and struggles, whether it be with testing or managing time or socializing, whatever it is, that being able to overcome those every day really does allow you to have those skills that you weren't necessarily aware of that you might have an advantage of over other people. And then you might see in your first week or two of college that, wow, I've got this down because I've done this before and I've worked so hard to do this every day of my life that I now have the skills and have practiced the skills that I can be successful both in high school and now in college and carry that even further beyond.
100%. Yeah. It's so cool. I'm like kind of jealous of the people in this transition now because I'm like, this is so juicy. It's so exciting, you know? Well, maybe not jealous. I went to college when I was 17 because I had a weird birthday timing. And yeah, my 17-year-old self, oof, that girl, she needed some confidence. Hey, it takes a minute. Yeah. Okay. So as you're thinking, you know, this podcast obviously is for young adults, students, and I think probably the biggest part of the audience is parents. What can you say now that you're on the other side, you're looking back, what can you say to parents that are maybe bundling up their adorable child to head off to college? Like, what do you want them to really hear from you?
I think so, from a parental standpoint, it was really exciting to go down, right? So we made the drive down because you can only fit so much stuff in a suitcase and take a flight, right? So we all piled into my mom's car and we drove down and we intentionally stopped at Sindara, which is a spa. I know, so pampered, so exciting to be able to go to a spa the day before freshmen move in, right? So definitely doing that. And then they stayed 2 days when I was down there moving all my stuff in. Everything was very intentional in the sense of the conversations we had, the experiences we had, and we really made it an experience. And I think that's one of the biggest things is that it doesn't need to be this big, scary, just thing. It should be an experience that's intentional. And with both my mom and my dad, you know, my dad was just a goofball as he always is. You know, he was cracking jokes. We got a bunch of Batman stuff that he and I geek over in my room. So I had those small little reminders of not only who he is and the sport he is, but also who I am. But then working with my mom at the same time, she was just very expressive. She was very, very sad to see me go, you know, and was going to miss the ability for us to go swimming together or chat after a long day at work or after school, you know. But in them being there and expressing those feelings of authenticity, my dad was excited and my mom was terrified, you know, and that's a perfect blend of what I was feeling. And that might be different for other people, but I think that having that and then moving forward and continuing to express those emotions, but also challenge each other. You know, it's one of those where I'm sure my mom wanted to talk to me every day, but she didn't. She didn't call me every day. She might send me, you know, a photo or a meme or something funny, you know, something to try and remind me that she's thinking of me without having to actually take away any time or any sort of purpose from the actual moment, right? So she was still intentional without having to really distract me or herself from what was going on currently, right? And I think that moving forward into that, the parental style did change. It becomes more and more where as I moved away and started to do my own things and join clubs and really get some time at college under my belt, it became less of a mother and son sort of thing to more of a, not a peer mentor or something like that, but more so of an elevated level of respect because my experiences had brought me new perspective and had challenged me, right? So I think that any advice to parents would be to be supportive and be authentic, like authentic really with the emotions you're having towards your child leaving and your child going either far away or somewhere new. And I think that being authentic while also challenging not only them, but yourself and being intentional in everything you do. You know, there I saw, and there's no real bashing people that do that, but I had friends that would call their parents after every class, right? If that's intentional and that makes you feel safe, then yeah, go for it. And some people love that, you know? But for me, it ended up being about once a week that's all I needed because that was an intentional conversation in which I had substance to talk about and then I could move forward and continue to challenge myself while both my parents challenged themselves, right? So as a long story short, I challenge parents to be intentional and authentic in the way they express their emotions towards the experience overall, but also to be willing to let those both flow as you move through the process with your child.
Yeah, that's huge. And what I'm hearing you describe is something that I call kind of like giving your child space to change, giving them room to grow. Because oftentimes what I see is the parents will say, okay, my kid's working on X, and then the kid tries, and maybe it's the first try, and there's a fail, quote unquote. And then the parents automatically time travel to 20 years down the road. He can't do it. And it's like, well, let's give them some space to, you know, give it a chance, you know? So checking in with your own emotions, I think what you're talking about, that authenticity is powerful then to extend to, am I noticing my child actually not trying or growing, or am I projecting my fear so hard that I'm not even seeing these like approximations, these sort of like steps up the ladder?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree in the sense of it's really easy to apply those sort of those anticipations and those real dreams and ideas of what college is versus what it ends up being, right? So the idea that, okay, my child will be the most successful and will go through all these things, or my child might fail here and trying to really challenge all those perceptions and those different ideas with the reality of, okay, here's what's going on. Here's what we need to do both as caretakers as well as for our child themselves to find the gap of what is too hard and what is hard enough, right? Because college is definitely hard. There's no sugarcoating that. It's a challenge. But I think that being able to find the balance of what's the appropriate amount of hard and then using those safety nets, as we keep mentioning, to try and make sure that the challenge isn't overwhelming and debilitating.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I'm hearing you say is a lot of flow. You're gonna give it your best predictive and kind of practice run this summer and be prepared that in the fall, it's going to take a couple adjustments before you really hit your stride. As parents, you know, kind of letting go and trusting your child, and as the student, really learning to student in the college setting and do all the adult things that maybe you didn't really realize were happening in the background.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, Alec, I don't have words to express my gratitude, so I will just use the regular thank you, truly. Thank you so, so much. This was amazing. Your insights, your perspective, all of it. I'm really thinking this is going to help a lot of families. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Hey, everybody. Before you go, I want to tell you about a super exciting group we're starting very, very soon in June 2022. It is an executive function launch group that will empower your junior or senior, or maybe even your transferring college student with all of the colleging and adulting strategies that maybe are still in development. We're going to find some ways to fast track, augment, supplement all of those things so that you can, as a parent, send that sweet angel baby away to college and feel like, you know what, they got it. And during those moments when maybe, oh, they don't got it, they've still got a whole toolbox from which to draw. So look on sarahkesty.com. It's right there on the homepage about our launch to college groups. And I cannot wait to see you there.
Thank you for listening to the Executive Function Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please head over to sarahkesty.com, where you'll find more resources and chances to connect with others. And please remember to like and review the show wherever you listen to this podcast. We're eager to transform the lives of even more families.